Coming up in this week's programme, a High Court victory for glucosamine users in the UK. Did you know that you'll soon be able to have a handheld device to detect GMOs and other toxic foods? We'll be reviewing the movie Organic Rising. We'll also be looking at the subject of carb creep. And Alan will be answering the question, is the gluten-free diet just a fad? Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Low Carb and Paleo Show. I'm joined again in the studio by my co-host, Alan Bro. Alan, how are you today?
Hello, Mark, and like we say in Texas, bonjour, y'all.
That's very, very cosmopolitan.
By the way, it's spelled Y'ALL, in case you want to know.
Okay, well, we'll put that in the program notes just as a translation for everybody. How's that?
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. I don't know if you've caught it in the newspapers or on the news, Alan, but in the UK, the High Court has basically turfed out a bid by a Chinese manufacturer to have glucosamine, which is a supplement used by many, many people, classified as a medicine.
Well, of course, they make more profit out of it when it's a medicine than a supplement.
That's true, that's true. This victory actually saw the two bodies that don't normally see eye to eye come together in order to stop this move by the Chinese manufacturers Blue Bio Pharmaceuticals from trying to get glucosamine classified as a medicine so that you could only buy it or have it or use it in certain circumstances by getting a prescription from the doctor. The two bodies in question, the MHRA and the UK's Health Food Manufacturers Association, actually decided to set aside their differences and help push this rather stupid idea out of court. Last week's judicial review concluded that glucosamine could remain on the market. The judgment noted that, amongst other things, the predominant use of glucosamine was as a food supplement. And it also noted, in essence, that simply because a substance has a medical action doesn't automatically make it a medicine, which is obviously good news for other things that are also used by many of us that have some sort of medicinal quality.
Well, typically corporations are trying to extract the benefits from a plant, turn it into medicine so they can copyright it or protect it so that they have exclusivity and then they can make tons of money on it. So that's why they are against supplements, because it takes away market share from them, because a lot of people use products like glucosamine to help with their joints. I used to use glucosamine a while back, and then I switched to good quality fish oil. You can also use cod liver oil, and to me it does the same thing, and then actually found better benefits from fish oil than I did from glucosamine. But that's me. We're all slightly different. So if you feel like trying something different, and I know some people don't care for fish oil because of the taste, but now they make it, they flavor it. So you can have it strawberry flavored or orange flavored. And it goes down a lot easier than the old days when my mother forced me to have a tablespoon of cod liver oil every day, and almost puked it out. You know, it was so, tasted so bad. So again, it's, depending what your physician or doctor, whoever you go see, suggests for you. But if you're looking for something that might help better, if you don't see any result with glucosamine, I would suggest you try fish oil. A good quality fish oil should help.
That sounds like an excellent tip, Alan. Now, Alan, what's this thing you were telling me about that's going to help us detect GMOs and toxic foods?
Well, there's a new gizmo that it's in the works right now. It's not out yet, but it's a handheld device that will attach to your smartphone and will be able to detect genetically engineered food and toxic foods. So it will be able to see it through the camera, basically. So you point the camera to the food, and the apps that will come with it will be able to analyze the food. I'm not sure exactly how it works. I'm not a scientist, but the scientists at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign have developed a cradle and an app that you can use with either your iPhone or your Android phone, and you plug it in and it will be used as a biosensor to detect toxins, foreign proteins, bacteria, viruses, and other molecules.
All right.
So sounds exciting to me, and especially for people like us that have food allergies. And if you want to find out what's hidden in your food, all you have to do is open the package and scan it, or I'm not sure exactly, but there's more information on a website which will be posted on as a footnote.
Excellent. Well, as you know, Alan, I'm quite an avid website visitor. Always on the lookout for good websites, both for low carb and paleo, and other things that interest me as well. And I don't know about you, but quite a lot of people keep sharing pictures with me on something called Pinterest. And that's one of those sites I've sort of just dismissed as, you know, sort of something for people who've got nothing better to do with their time. But actually, over the last, well, I suppose, couple of years, Pinterest has become quite a good resource for all sorts of things in all sorts of subjects. One of the ones that I liked that I've come across recently is the low carb board on Pinterest that has just got loads and loads and loads and loads of low carb recipes and tips and hints that you can quite easily just click on and put together pretty quickly. But the nice thing about them is that they've all got nice pictures, so you can see what people have made.
I'm looking at them. They looks very appetizing.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, a lot of them are recipes that people have found on other websites and then gone and cooked themselves. So it's not just, you know, some big chef like you, for instance, that's putting a recipe up on a website and using all their experience and so forth to make it. It's something that people have made in their own homes. Now, they're not all absolutely fantastic, but most of them are pretty damn tasty and, of course, low-carb and paleo-friendly.
I like the idea of the egg poached. You use a basically a muffin pan and you break an egg into it. You add a slice of tomato and cheese on it, and you have your breakfast, and you stick that in the oven for about 10 minutes and you have your breakfast ready. It's a perfect low-carb and paleo breakfast.
Yeah, ideal. Okay, we'll put the link to that in the show notes, but do have a look. And if you've got time, thank the person who's been putting it up for all their time and effort that went into doing it, because obviously things like this, people do just for the love of it.
Yeah, I'm glad you opened my eyes to this, because I also thought that Pinterest is another one of the social media sites that...
Just a waste of time, perhaps, yeah.
Well, I don't know about waste of time, but... there's just only so many websites I can keep up with, and I'm already, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and LinkedIn. I mean, I'm everywhere, but there's only so much I can handle. So this is good to know that this site could be useful in this case, you know, for simple recipe done by everyday people, not the fancy chef recipe like some of us do.
No. Who would that be?
Names. Oh, no. Someone with a funny French accent, for example.
Oh, yes. My friend Patrick, yes.
Yes.
Okay. On to your film review, Alan. You were going to tell us about a film called Organic Rising.
As you probably have figured out by now, I like to support projects that are either food-related or talk about food. You know, food. That's my passion. I'm a food geek, and that's what I love. So I found this new movie project on Indiegogo, which is similar to Kickstarter, and it's called Organic Rising. And this movie wants to inform us about the damaging changes the industry is trying to force onto the organic standards. For example, the inclusion of pesticides, GMOs, antibiotics, and toxic sludge, and they're trying to change the standards to include all of this, which obviously will completely turn the organic industry on its head and completely damage the reputation of organic. So, you know, I'm not spending a whole lot of money. I'm just, you know, usually it's about something around $30 to $50 a pop. But, you know, a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there, and you try to support different projects. So if you feel like helping, the first contribution is $35 for the DVD, which is what I did. And you can go to Indiegogo Organic Rising, plop down your money and feel good about helping a project that's going to expose what the industry is trying to do to the organic standards.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. Do you know who's going to be sort of the main people within the film? Is it experts or somebody like that?
I know there's going to be a lot of organic farmers, you know, small farms, organic farms. They are interviewing Ronnie Cummins, which is, he's famous in the organic world. He was actually in Food Inc., in the movie Food Inc.,
mm-hmm.
which kind of started this whole series of movies on food and industrial food. John Robbins,
yeah,
Mark Castle of the Cornucopia Institute, Vandana Shiva, I don't know if you heard about her, she's the one trying to fight off the genetically engineered crops in India, which are mm-hmm. poisoning peoples and animals, actually, over there. Maya Rodel, Willie Tash of Slow Money. Slow Money is the money version of Slow Food, and they are trying to help farms all over the country to improve, buy new machineries, and basically by collecting funds from people like us, you know, make a pool, create a pool of money, and they allocate some of that money to people that apply for it to buy, let's say, a new tractor or a new machine to clean peas, for example. I mean, these kind of things. So the name of the director is Anthony Suo. Sounds French, mm-hmm. but I don't think he is. He's a world-renowned photographer. He's earned the International Center of Photography Award twice.
Yeah.
And was honored with the Robert Capa Gold Medal Award. He's a Time Magazine contributor, counts for the past 20 years. So he's not a newbie. He knows his stuff, and I have seen his pictures. I've gone to his website, look at his pictures. They are very striking pictures. So if you want to see the preview of the movie, you can find it also on that, which is gorgeously shot, by the way.
We'll put the links to that under the show notes.
So Organic Rising, you can do a Google search, Organic Rising, the movie, and it will take you right there. You can also find it on YouTube. But if mm-hmm. you want to if you wanna contribute and help the movie, then go to Indiegogo.com and then do a search on Organic Rising. It will take you right there.
Excellent. Sounds like that's one we've got to watch out for. So on to our main story of the week. Carb creep is something that everybody on a low-carb journey and probably on a paleo journey will come across at some point on that journey. That's simply where the amount of carbs that we're actually eating is a lot more than the carbs that we think we're eating. Now, it's not because we've done something deliberately to starting eating more carbs. It's just that we don't remain as vigilant. Now, most of the time, carb creep comes about simply because we start to lose sight of the amount of carbs that we're eating, and we slowly scale up
the cookie count.
Yes, that's very true, and the type of vegetables that we eat. And we also start to allow ourselves more vegetables that are higher in carbs, for instance. That's why it's vital for low carbers to follow a low carb plan, as by doing that it helps you stay on the straight and narrow. But if you have fallen off, what can you do about it? Well, the first thing to do is go back to the books that you used when you were first starting to do a low-carb diet and make sure you're doing everything you used to do. As by doing that, you'll very quickly see where bad habits and a lackadaisical attitude have crept in. Yes, there are all sorts of gizmos and programs and apps and so on that you can pay for, but honestly, going back to where you started is simply the most effective way of dealing with any form of carb creep. On to the question of the week. So, Alan, have you got a question you want to answer this week?
Yeah, the question I had was from someone a little concerned about this perception that the gluten-free diet is a fad. And if you pay attention to the news, you will see that quite a few of the famous actors and actresses and famous people are decided to go on a gluten-free diet because it's quote-unquote good for them. And this is kind of giving a bad taste in some people's mouths because the people that are really sick, like celiac disease sufferers, they take their condition very seriously, and to see what they are dealing with not taken seriously by some magazines and, you know, the people's kind of magazines that say, well, you know, gluten-free is just a fad and it's only the famous people because they don't want to get fat and all that. Well, the fact of the matter is that it is true that a few actors actually came out and mentioned that they were allergic or celiac disease. Some of them would be Elizabeth Hasselbeck from the TV show The View. Jennifer Esposito, she's an actress. We have Keith Olbermann, presenter on CNN. Chelsea Clinton, of course you know who she is. Zooey Deschanel, she's also an actress. And of course the list is longer than that, but the last one I'd like to mention because he's kind of someone I like is Novak Djokovic, the tennis player. Mm-hmm. So these people actually are allergic to gluten, and that's the reason why they came out to let people know that if you are allergic to gluten, you should not be ashamed of it. It's that's the way it is. You know, your body reacts a certain way. But it appears that some other movie stars are jumping on the bandwagon as a diet in the sense of trying to lose weight on it. Well, the gluten-free diet is not meant to lose weight. It's just a way to avoid something that could make you very, very sick.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, some people can actually gain weight on a gluten-free diet.
Right, right. So the thing is to keep in mind to separate the two of them. You have people that are seriously sick when they eat gluten, and those are following the diet not to lose weight but to avoid being sick. And then you have other people that, because of the perceived impression that if you go gluten-free, you're going to lose weight, which, as you mentioned, is not necessarily the truth, because typically when most people that I've talked to, when they switch to a gluten-free diet, they tend to carb load to the max, because most of the gluten-free products you find out there, they replace the gluten by sugar.
Yeah.
To compensate for the lack of taste from the wheat. So all of a sudden you switch from being allergic to gluten to being addicted to sugar, and you end up gaining weight actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't do it just to lose weight, because that's the wrong way to look at it. Just do it because if you are allergic, then if you feel you're not feeling good on when you eat any kind of bread or pastry product, by all means get tested. You know, go to a gastroenterologist and get tested, and you can get plenty of information on the web what kind of test you should take. Don't necessarily go for the expensive colonoscopy, because that's not necessary, at least not in the beginning. Just go for a blood test that will bring up the antibodies, and then if you feel it's necessary, then you could go to the next step. And if you are actually allergic to gluten, by all means go gluten free but in that case I would suggest instead you go paleo, because the paleo is suspect of any sugar, so you will avoid the whole sugar binge when you move to paleo instead of just being gluten free That's what I wanted to say on the subject.
That sounds like good advice. So we've just got one thing left, and that's our tip of the week. And that's a very simple one from me this week, and that's when you start any learning process, as you do when you change diets, then rather than keep learning before doing anything, use the knowledge that you gain as you gain it. Use what you've learned today today. There seems to be a tendency among many people to always keep learning and never actually acting on what they learn. That's no way to improve your health. If you use what you've learnt today, then you'll get results from what you've learnt today and not sometime never.
Yeah, some people tend to overthink everything, but they're difficult for them to take the next step in the actual action.
Mm.
So I'm personally a list maker, so I just make lists, you know, to-do lists. Do this, and then, you know, you don't have to change your whole life all at once, but you take it one day at a time, and then you change your habits. That's a trick, and that's typically for anybody the most difficult part is to change your habits, because we're all creatures of habits, and we tend to get into patterns and eat the same kind of food and, you know, comfort food and so on, and then it's difficult to take the next step. So, you know, go easy on yourself, one step at a time. You know, start step one, step two, step three, and then eventually, after a few days or a few weeks, you'll find that you have completely changed your whole setup without stressing out, because you've done it progressively.
Exactly. And that really reinforces what I've said. If you use the knowledge that you learn as you learn it, you're just taking simple steps each time. You don't need the whole picture in order to understand what you need to do. It's just like, you know, walking from A to B is made up of single steps. Just take one at a time.
Right. And there are programs out there, you know, like paleo programs you can sign on that will lead you day by day and give you advice on what to do today, what to buy, what to cook. And, you know, of course, if you follow the advice, that's one way. You know, sometimes some of us have to have an outside input in order to do things.
Mm.
I can be there to kick you in the pants to get things done, but if you need a reminder...
You're quite happy to do so, yes, I know.
Right. If you get an email reminder every day, that might nudge you into actually doing something about it. So, and typically, if you spend a lot of money on doing something like this, then the money incentive also will kind of, back at the end, you're thinking, well, if I spend some money on this, I might as well just do something about it.
That's true, yeah.
Right, so that's one way that you can incentivize yourself to get going and actually change your lifestyle.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, that's it from the Low Carb Paleo Show for this week. I hope you've enjoyed everything that you've heard and acted on. Don't forget, all the show notes are below the program, and also don't forget to like us on Facebook. So it's goodbye from me, Mark Moxham,
and goodbye everyone. Thank you for being with us. See you next time. Au revoir, y'all.